TBA. Reverend Donald Frank. Oh, that's me. When you're retired as a pastor, you don't have to go by the law. In other words, I do what I want to do, and you just got to listen. That's your problem. I'm not going to take the text from today. Why? Do you remember I preached last Sunday? There was two things I wanted to say last Sunday, but I only said one. So guess what? I get to say the other one. Does anybody remember the gospel for last Sunday? Jesus came before the disciples, and he said something to them. You know what he said? Peace be with you. I'm going to talk about peace today. Now, you know that words can have several meanings. You understand that? I'll give you an example. A married guy meets another married woman on the corner of XYZ, and they jog 2 miles down the road, come back, he goes to his home, she goes to her home. That's called running around. Say, another guy meets another gal after work for a few drinks, and then they have supper with dessert at the nearest motel. That's called also running around. I'm going to talk about peace today. We look in our paper, and guess what the world wants? Peace, don't we? We want peace. When world leaders get together and they talk about peace, they mean, men, lay down your arms. You set up, this is my border, this is your border, we respect it, and you don't cross ours, we don't cross ours, only we have permission. And we want peace like that. When Jesus talks about peace, it's completely different. A lot different. And I'm going to talk about when Jesus speaks about peace. What does that mean? Three things. When Jesus said peace to the disciples, he said, your sins don't matter, don't count. They're already forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And that's the problem that the church has today. People don't want to admit that they're sinners. They don't want to admit it. I don't want my parish, your kids, their grandchildren are not sinners. I used to tell them, if they got a belly button, they're a sinner. You look inside that belly button, there's a scroll that says, you're going to die, you're a sinner. And you got to accept that. But people don't want to accept the fact that they're sinners. I want to tell you something. The best thing about Christianity, I'm a sinner. That's the best part of Christianity. It's not negative. It takes the negative and makes it be positive. That's not wrong. So when Jesus said to his disciples, peace be with you, he said, your sins are forgiven. You understand that? That's number one. Number two. When he said, peace be unto you, he said, you now have control over Satan. I used to teach my confirmation kids. Instead of waking up in the morning and say, Jesus, thank you very much for a beautiful day, at the foot of your bed is Satan. The first thing out of your mouth, say, Satan, go to hell. Go to hell. We can say that deliberately. Now, I taught my kids. Really, best part of my ministry, one of the best parts of my ministry, was Thursday night, 6:30. I met with my confirmation kids. And I told them, I said, you know, when mom and dad want you to do something, and you don't want to do it, that's Satan saying, you don't have to do that. That's when you got to say, Satan, go to hell. That's when you say, Satan, mom loves me, dad loves me so much, I'm going to do what they want, without question. Well, this one day, dad came home from work. Little Johnny is in the living room, playing around. And his dad comes in and says, Johnny, it looks like it might rain, you better go put your bike away. Johnny didn't want to do it. But he remembered what I told him to do. But what father only heard was, go to hell. and he ran out the door, put his bike away, and the father's saying, don't we go to hell? He does this here. And he goes in the kitchen, he says to his beautiful bride, I got to take Johnny down to the parsonage. I don't want my son saying go to hell, to me especially. Grabs his hand and goes, what are we doing, Dad? We're going to see the pastor. And they did a cardinal sin. Don't ever disturb me when I'm eating my supper. They did. He came in and he said to me, he says, Pastor, I got a little problem with you today. It's not the first one I've ever heard that from. He said, my son just told me to go to hell. I don't like that. I turned and I said, Johnny, what'd you do? I told my father what you told me I could say. I said, well, what was it? Dad wanted me to put my bike away, and I didn't want to do it. I was doing a jigsaw puzzle, and then Dad comes in and he wants me to do this. And I knew that Satan said that I didn't have to do it. And that's when I said, Satan, go to hell. And his dad said, I didn't hear the word Satan. Clean out your ears, Dad. I teach the kids the gospel. He took little Johnny home, kissed his bride, and said, our son is learning the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. How many remember a comedian by the name of Flip Wilson? You remember him? To me, he was one of many comedians, but he had a little bit of theology in him. He had three great sayings. Remember the first one? What you see is what you get. Remember that one? Or how about this one? If you are, if you're not, you're not. And if you are, you're not. But the one he loved the most, that I loved the most, was this. The devil made me do it. Remember that? The devil made me do it. I want to tell you something. You have the power over Satan. Do you know that? You get to tell him to go to hell every time somebody wants you to do something in the name of Jesus Christ. Like come to church. Like give your tithe. Like do something. That's Satan saying, oh, you don't have to. Let somebody else do it. You're too busy. You're doing too much anyway. You always are there anyway. I've heard this often. Incidentally, when I'm talking, I'm thinking about a time when I was in Roseville, Michigan. I was doing my internship at St. Mark's Lutheran Church. And the pastor and I were in the working sacristy getting ready to go out and knock on the door. And there's a woman. She says, I'm not coming to church today. You're here already. Well, I'm not coming. I'm going back home. Why? This was the excuse of all excuses. This is right up here. I can't come to church because the dog ate my offering envelope. That's a pretty good excuse, isn't it? But to come and tell. So Flip Wilson had this beautiful thing. The devil made me do it. What you and I have to understand is that you have the power to tell Satan to go to hell. You know where we learned that from? When Satan encountered Jesus. What happened there? And this is the masters of all, both worlds. The world of the living and the world of the dead. And Satan says to Jesus, hey, listen, you're hungry, aren't you? 40 days in the wilderness. I couldn't go 40 days. I have trouble going 4 hours. But Jesus was 40 days in your hunger. He was a man, God, but man. And Satan says, come on now, Jesus, you got the power to make those stones bread. Do it! But what did Jesus use? Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that flows out of the mouth of God. That Bible that we use every single day is the power that we need. Satan took him up to the pentacle and he said, hey, Jesus, throw yourself down because it says you give your charge. He said, you should not tempt the Lord your God. Don't you dare tempt the God at all. Took him up into the temple and says, all this land I'll give to you if you fall down and worship me. Again, the word of God. You shall worship the Lord your God and Him only. You see how powerful that Bible is in your life? I remember had people come to me, I don't get anything out of the service. I've heard that a lot. I don't get anything out of the service. You know what I used to do? Turn it around. You weren't called to come and get. You were called to give. Give of your time. Give of your talent. Give of your anything. Maybe somebody needs your handshake in church that day. Maybe God is going to use you for somebody else's purpose. You didn't come to get. You came to give. Do you understand that? That's the rear of the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit in you. And now is where I might cross the line with pastors. I might cross the line because I've crossed the line with many pastors in my life. I believe that you walk through that door because the Holy Spirit is in your life. Nobody will ever convince me other than that. Martin Luther said, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens and keeps the Christian church in the one true faith. You walk through that door because Jesus Christ is part of your life. The Holy Spirit is there. That's the only reason you're here. Me too. Nobody. I remember years ago, out in California, the liberal state of our nation, there was liberals that got up that they did not believe in God. They said that themselves. They vocalized, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's a Christ. I don't believe anything. One guy got on a clown uniform and with those colorful wigs, and he walked right down that aisle thinking that the priest would deny him communion. You know what that priest did? Gave him communion. Why not? Why not? He was there. I'm going to say, no atheist wakes up on a Sunday morning and says, I'm going to go to church. That just can't happen. Will not happen. Anybody that goes to church on a Sunday morning is gifted by the Holy Spirit, whether you like it or not. I'm going to share something that's kind of hurting to me. We have some dear neighbors, Paul and Pat, Tuma. And they came to us one day and they said, we'd like to go to church with you. This was that Redeemer Lutheran Church right around the corner. I'm giving you names. Don't do too much with it. But my wife and I, we came there. And here, Paul and Patty were off the side being examined by the pastor so that they could be, quote, holy to receive communion. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a bunch of, and I'm not going to use it, you fill in the blank. Do you understand? Anybody that walks through the doors of a church should receive the Lord's Supper. I don't care what they think. I'm positive about that. Okay, say they don't live a holy life and they don't live, you name it. Can God love them? Of course. Your standard is here. God's standard is there. We are not in this world to protect the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, we're wrong. We don't have to protect it. It will never die. So why do we have to protect it? Heaven and hell will pass away, and my word will always be. So we waste our time, what? Protecting the Word of God. Poopycock on that. I'm pretty hot today, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. You know how I used to begin my service? I'd ask, is there anybody there that wants to be baptized? I didn't care where they were. You want to be baptized? Come on up, we'll do it right now. And you know, they're always afraid. You have to join the church. Join the church. You are the church. Your name on the list? Do you think our Lord's going to come and get the rosters of every church and raise 20 feet off the thing? Right. He knows it already. It's written in the book. You don't know it. You can only believe it is. But I would start my service off. And you would not believe how many people are out there that are not baptized. They are not baptized. They are not baptized. The church should welcome that. When I was up in West Falls, we lived on a place where we had a well. And they decided to put sewers and wells through our, not sewers, just water. Just water. Just water. And I had plenty of water. I had plenty of water, but across the street, about 100 yards from me, these people couldn't even, if there were four people in that house, one would take a bath every fourth day. They didn't have water. So I put a sign outside my church Vote yes to have water, and you get free baptism. That went to the town board. My name is on it. Pastor Francis will give out a free baptism if you vote yes. That went all to the board. But you know what? I'm trying to tell people, baptism is what we have to do. Forget about that. It was law. We call it the law. And I know there are pastors that have the law here and the gospel here. That's not the way it is. Here's the law. Here's the gospel. All the time. All the time. I had a young woman in my parish. Really young. She wasn't even confirmation age. And she came to me crying her eyes out. Crying her eyes out. Brought her in my office. Name was Becky. She's with the Lord right now. She's crying in my office. I said, Becky, what did you do? Here she stole a sweater from Grants. Does anybody remember the department store Grants? Remember that? Yeah, Grants. It was up in Easter War. And I said, and she's crying her eyes out. And I said, Becky, listen, you coming to me with this, I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something right to your straight face. Your sins are forgiven. I'm going to take that, and I'll take it back to the grand store for you. But I won't mention your name. It doesn't have to be. Are you sure? Yeah. Your sins are forgiven. Just like that. You go and have a good time. You're going to tell Mom and Dad. Mom, what am I going to tell them? Nothing to tell. Sins are forgiven and forgotten. You got to remember to forget them, too. She went out. I went over to Grant's. It was the funniest thing in my life. I walk in with this package. I asked for the manager and comes and says, Mom, this was stolen off your thing. I'm just returning it. What? I said, yeah. I said, stolen. By whom? I said, can't tell you. I told him, I'm an ordained minister. I'm just returning it. You can put it on the rack. Nothing was done. Never wore. He said it was the first time being a manager of a store that anyone brought back a stolen goods. I tell you that story from this standpoint. When you're forgiven, it's a whole new ballgame. And you've got to learn to live as a forgiven sinner. You got it. It's more exciting than having a new pair of underwear. It is so nice. We've got to get in our mind. Okay, we got your sins are forgiven. You got the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. You can tell Satan to go to hell. And then there's a final thing. Before the end. This hand someday is going to put the hand on the doorknob of what we call death. And I'm going to turn that. And it might be painful. And I'm going to open it up. And when I open up that door, on the other side, I will see Jesus, who will say, welcome home. That's what all of us had. We have that. We have that power. No longer do we have to scare death and dying. I know it's difficult. I know it is. I went through that, I told you a couple of weeks ago, when my wife was in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. How can I live alone without her? I know it hurts. And I've been with people who have died. Believe me, do you remember Erin Porman, Mom? Little girl in our parish? Her mother's name was Tracy Porman, and her grandmother was Judy Skip. And it was a Sunday morning, about 8 o'clock. My phone rang. It was Judy Skip. She said, we're at the hospital with Erin. It looks like she's going to pass on today. And I said, Judy, I'm going to pray that she stays in this world till I get there. I got two services I'm going to preach. I said, at 12 o'clock, I will be out of this church in my car going down to Children's Hospital. I'll be there as soon as I get there. I walked in, Erin was still with us, and Judy came to me and she said, Pastor, tears in her eyes, I'm going to tell Erin it's time for her to go home. I'm going to tell her that Grandma's going to be there too. I want you to be there to receive me, but you go, Grandma will be fine, I'll take care of Mommy, but it's your turn to go with the Lord. Is that okay, Pastor? Let's do it. We went over there and had a little prayer. And then Judy just picked her up in the arms in the bed and said, I love you so much, but it's time for you to go to be with Jesus. She laid Aaron on that bed, and within 12 and a half minutes, our Lord called her eternally home. Why did Jesus come into this world? To give you a brand new home? Nah! To give you lots of money? The Holy Spirit is guarding my vocabulary at this time. I want you to know it. I got to live with my wife after this sermon, too. Did it give you the job that you got that you hate so much? No. Jesus came into this world for one purpose only, to save you and me from eternal death. He died on Calvary's cross, he rose from the dead, and he can give that life to you and me. That's the gift that we got. So when somebody says to you, peace be unto you, and it's from the mouth of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You got power over Satan, and you got the gift of eternal life. Now, I could say amen, but I'm going to add something else into it. When Jesus was with his disciples, he said, peace be with you. He said something unique, and we don't get it in the scriptures, but I'm going to share it with you because it's so beautiful. He said to them, as the Father has sent me, I now send you into the world. Do you know what that is? That's the Great Commission. Every one of us has a commission in this world. And you know what it is? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? I'll tell you when you're ordained. You'll know, the world gets to ordain all of us. When you're told to go to hell. That's when lay people are. That's when you hit somebody. That's when it is. I want you guys to help me out with the rest of my sermon. It's already done. But I want to prove to you something. How did you become a Christian? Who was the person that you can honestly say moved, motivated, or brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody want to read that? I'll let my wife answer this, but I'll answer for her. Carolyn, you come from a very Christian congregation, family, don't you? You really do. I mean, if you ever, what's that program that you and I, But anyway, she comes from a family that are Christian. They got more pastors. When Carolyn announced her family that she was going to marry a pastor, we got so many that we don't need. But her parents are just like the, what is that family on television? I can't remember. What? The what? Please do. No, not Oros. I can't remember. But anyway, every one of them. But Carolyn, you're a member of the church today, not because of me, but because your parents. Your dad opened up the church. He was the head usher. Your mom helped with the altar. That's why you were such a fantastic pastor's wife. I could not keep a secretary. I fired more of them because they just... She stood up at the car and said, I'll take care of him. I mean, I'll be the secretary. She did. She did a good job. No, but anyway, how did you guys come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord? Does anybody want to know? You. How did you get to know? Your mom? See how important parents are to their kids? Huh? Somebody else want to share with them? How about you, Dave? How about you? How did you become a Christian? That's called the gospel according to the fish hook. God uses everything. Everything. He is not restricted to anything. If it's going to bring you closer to Jesus Christ, he'll use it. Good thing. Marley, how about you? Your mother. Ah! You know, I grew up in a family which didn't go to church. My mom and dad did not go to church. Guess what? There was a rule in the house, though. Children go to church in Sunday school. Have you ever heard of that? And you know what? If we didn't go to church in Sunday school, guess what you had to do? Stay in bed till Monday morning when you got out of bed to go to school.
You couldn't play. No, you had to go to church. Anybody else want to share why they're a Christian? Gee, how about you? Ah! Ah!
It's pretty beautiful. Beautiful. Anybody else want to share their moment? But every Christian, every Christian this side of heaven and on the other side of my head can tell the same story. Somebody told me about Jesus Christ. So when I tell you, you got a job to do. You know what it is? You share that gospel with other people. No matter what. No matter what. And you know what? The world is working to look at what you're doing. And people are doing the same thing. All the time. I'm done. Oh, I'm supposed to say amen.